There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 770, October 1st, 2018. Nasser?
Spasiba, comrade. I say from Russia with love, LCH fly to victory in Sochi. Dazed and confused is Valtteri, and das Vidania to the dream for Seb and Scuderia Ferrari. Back to you, sir, the czar of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, LCH is so proud of Bottas. What would Max do? And Ferrari has no chance. And we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. You said Ferrari has no chance. There are still 125 points available. Are you sure they have no chance?
I don't know. I mean, I watched a race in Russia and the previous race and the previous race. And I'm not a doctor, I don't have a PhD, and I've come to that conclusion with relative simplicity.
Well, when you don't win races, you are supposed to win. You're just making it very, very hard for yourself.
So you confirm my prognosis?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to double check you and to see if you are 100% sure. Sounds like you are.
It not only that, but it's done. No nail biting. No nothing. Except for, you know, it'd be great if we could get Bottas to discover his testicles.
Well, talking of Bottas, the sooner Lewis Hamilton wins his fifth championship, the more races Valtteri Bottas will win this year.
Of course. They're going to... I mean, but that is the most... That's the worst kind of race you want to see where Lewis Hamilton... And Toto decide, well, let's throw him a bone.
Yeah, and decide so late. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of this race, because this order is getting a lot of press and web and chatter, let's just take a quick look in for practice on Quali. And we had a NASCAR moment in Formula One, finally star par for Haas F1, which was kind of funny. And according to Senor Mario Isola, who is the Pirelli tire head honcho, he said fire broke out in the blanket covering the tires during the night, which I guess is allowed by FOM or FIA. But happily, no major damage and fire was put out quickly. Do you remember when the fire broke out after Maldonado won his one and only race?
I do.
Yeah, this was kind of strange. But anyway, Bottas gets his second pole of the season in Sochi. Now, interestingly, he has never been out-qualified by his teammate at this track, and it was here last year he scored his first Grand Prix win. So the wind was blowing his way after the quali. LCH was second on the grid. Both Seb and F1 pundits were surprised at the pace of third man in his Ferrari. The fastest Ferrari was over half a second slower than the fastest Silver Arrow, and Kimi made it an all-Ferrari second row. Top five for K-Mag, impressive third-row start for another soon-to-be departing from F1 soul, Esteban Ocon. Man from Monaco continues his magic. Leclerc was seventh in quali. His teammate Marcus Ericsson also got in the top 10 of the grid, and he is also on his way out. And your man, Nando, kept his quali record intact by outpacing his soon-to-be another departing gentleman from Formula One, Stoffel Vandoorne. And we, as we all know by now, Nando himself will be departing F1 for Oval Pastures. Anything stood out for you and Collie?
Not a thing.
Were you expecting Ferrari to be on pole?
No, not even. I expected Lewis Hamilton to make a mistake, give Bottas the pole, and I'm telling you, Fernando had something when he said F1 is a little predictable.
Well, I'll have a comment on this a little bit later. But let's talk about the race. Happy with the result, Mr. Rogers?
What's that? What?
Are you happy with the result, no matter how it was achieved?
Of course not.
Well, Lewis himself did not look very thrilled and not the victory he wanted. But he must be loving the 50-point lead with only 5 races to go. And, you know, there's a good chance that the championship may be settled with a Samba in Sao Paulo. If that happens, then maybe Bottas can end the season the way Sebastian started, back-to-back wins.
I say even if Sebastian gets another pole before the season over, he will screw it up. Vettel is rattled, and if he's on the front row, there's issues. This is LCH's 5th championship. It's done. 5 races isn't enough for Ferrari to figure out that the pasta should be cooked al dente.
Yes, and you know, Max and Renault, Red Bull, they're very hopeful that they will have a very competitive car and package in Mexico City. So it looks like all indications are his dishes are done for the 5th championship.
Correct. You can see it on his face.
The only thing that is going for him, when I look at the result, so far, LCH has only 1 DNF. Okay? So the longer you race, the more chances are something will go wrong, which could be a love tap from Raikkonen or Sebastian or, you know, Max Verstappen, or he can make a mistake. But even if he makes back-to-back mistakes and gets out of the race, and Sebastian wins both of them, they will still be tied. But I don't think that this scenario is going to play out.
not in today's Formula One. Definitely not.
Yeah, with the cars being so reliable. And I have to say, man, the mistakes Sebastian has made this year, I always feared and thought that Lewis will make these mistakes. So he is a very matured man now.
It's all that partying down in Los Angeles.
Yeah, whatever works for you, man. Whatever works for you. The opening lap and side-by-side racing by Seb and Lewis was fantastic and made me think we might finally have what has not happened so far. Both fighting for 5 take each other out. And it may still happen, like you said, you know, both Seb is desperate, and we all know desperate men make desperate moves.
Indeed.
Now, what were your thoughts? Who was going to do the undercut or overcut as far as the pit stops were concerned?
I didn't even really think about it. I figured they'd tell Bottas it's time to pull over, and he's a good little puppy dog.
Finnish puppy dog, huh?
Exactly.
Well, you know, he's being a good team player, and the thing is, you know, he got this contract courtesy of Toto, and as much as I don't like team orders, this is really required to get the championship. But going back to the pit stop situation, Bottas was the first to pit among the top 5. He was able to stay ahead of Seb after the German made his first stop. But Seb got ahead of LCH, and that lit the fuse in Numero Uno Silver Arrow. There was a little more action from Seb in trying to defend his position, and a little more conversation from Lewis, but the way LCH pounced on the Ferrari and made the move stick was machismo. Did you like that, sir?
Yes, of course. And he had the speed to do it. But I always go back to the Bottas thing. What if Max Verstappen was in Mercedes number 2 spot? What would he have done?
He would have done what he did once he was told by Toro Rosso to change position or whatever. And his response was, no.
That's why we like Max.
Yeah, but you know, this issue was discussed on another podcast. And they said something that Bottas is not in a position to defy team orders. You know, he is a very good driver, but he is number 2 to one of the all-time greats. So as one of my bosses used to, his favorite saying used to be, you have no bargaining power. So Bottas, compared to Lewis, really has no bargaining power.
Thank you, Rubinho.
Yes, there you go. And quite a few others, you know, Eddie Irvine too. And but, you know, when the team orders came, this was certainly Mercedes' version of Alonso is faster than you. But they could have saved Bottas a lot of aggravation by just doing this in a pit stop or simply having a discussion before the race, you know, let this guy go before the, you know, first turn. But it made it very insulting for him, I have to say.
Very.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, Bottas must be feeling like Toto's Steppenwolf, and who can blame him? I think Lewis will return the favor once his fifth championship is secured. And we all know Lewis does not win a race or want to win a race in a season after the championship is secured. So all the signs are that we may have a few wins for Valtteri Bottas still coming in the season.
But those kinds of wins are so hollow.
Yeah, but you know, the record books don't show that. They show who won the race.
No, but my brain shows me that.
Oh, it's still functioning?
No, it quit right after Sochi.
Right after Sochi. Mm. Oh, I thought it was right after Alonso announced he's going to NASCAR.
No.
And, you know, Mr. LCH was very complimentary to Bottas, saying he was a gentleman. And he even went up to him and told him it was not he who asked this. And Lewis is saying it's the head honchos in Stuttgart and wherever they are. And obviously there is a lot of chatter on the web. And, you know, like I said, as much as I dislike team orders and hand-me-down victories, this is required if priority is winning the championship. As Lewis himself and Mercedes also know fully well, even a single point can cost you a championship. The professor, Mr. Alain Prost, was schooled in the importance of a single point after he lost the 1984 championship to his teammate, Niki Lauda, by less than a point, half a point to be precise. And both Rubinho and Mika Salo have been obedient jockeys at the Prancing Horse stable in the past. Sure, I feel bad for Bottas. The real sad part was when Bottas asked in the closing stages if the position will be changed, and he was told, niet, complete dictatorial style.
Absolutely. I'm sure Bottas actually clicked his heels in the cockpit and said, jawohl.
Yeah, it's hard to take. You know, I mean, a driver can take a loss like Baku. There was nothing he could do. But like he said, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. I guess the only thing he did wrong was obey the orders. But I think in the long run, it's a better idea too. Because, you know, if you don't obey orders, then that's the reputation you develop. And if you don't have the bargaining chips of a Lewis Hamilton or a Michael Schumacher, then, as they say, I think in Italian culture, when you're in deep water, it's better to keep your mouth shut. So I think he's embracing a good philosophy.
Indeed. If the shoe fits.
If the shoe fits, what was her name? Imelda Marcos? Is that what you're trying to say?
Exactly, yes. But except that she wasn't Finnish.
Oh, I think she was Finnish. Anyway. Three wins in a row for Lewis has put the Prancing Horse in a do-or-die derby in the remaining races. I don't think Seb is going to win in Mexico. I think he might win in Japan. And that will not be enough to get him the championship. You know, Lewis has won 5 of the last 6 races. Isn't that kind of a shock?
No, it's Mercedes. They've been sandbagging since the beginning. We thought Ferrari was quick. That was fake news. And now, once again, the knob is up. They're going to win the championship and then to turn the knob down. I'm telling you, Toto is a smart cookie because he's also thinking about Formula One as a spectator sport. And he certainly didn't want to completely dominate and annihilate his enemy.
Yeah,
this is all theater, my friend.
Well, you know, you sound like Alonso right now.
I am Alonso right now.
Bitter, angry and bitter.
Bitter. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everything I do is framed around Alonso philosophy.
He's your samurai warrior. But you know, the Ferrari speed was not fake news because they won the opening 2 races and I remember
But that's my point. He's toying with us. The carrot in front of the horse. It's masterful. It's evil genius.
Okay, slow down, Mr. Alonso. Did you have a paella full of jalapenos today?
I did.
You are on fire. So anyway, for me, the magical number as far as the championship was concerned regarding whoever won the race was, and we discussed this over the course of the season, 45 points. With near-perfect reliability these days, it would have been very hard to overcome this kind of deficit given the caliber of these two drivers. And, you know, Seb is going to find out probably the hard way. But, man, you never know. Things can happen. And I never thought Sebastian Vettel will win the championship in 2010. But he did surprise everybody. And you know what? Petrov may not be in Abu Dhabi, but we still have Sergei Sirotkin.
And we'll have Kvyat next year.
Yeah, and they're already blaming Sirotkin for causing Lewis to fall behind Sebastian in Sochi.
Exactly. It was beautiful. We always blame the Russians.
Yeah, so there may be some karma in this Russian driver. You never know.
Don't worry. History will tell us what happened.
Yes, sir. And you know, the guy who was on Malfire, actually on Hellfire, and was fantastic to watch, was Max Verstappen, burning the competition with each passing lap. After starting from the final row, he was in top five before the race was even 10 laps or. And amazing, no crashing, no other drivers were not missing their front wings, or he did not leave behind any, you know, I was here kind of mark.
No, Max is the man. He's the future. He just needs a competitive package in a team, and he will rattle his teammate. There's no doubt.
Oh, yeah, big time. And he went all the way to, I believe, lap 43 or 53 before his only stop for required tire change. And what a nice way to celebrate his 21st birthday. The only surprise was no digs at Renault engine after the race.
Well, when the two Hondas didn't finish, I think he decided to be quiet.
Silence is golden, huh?
Mm.
One has to wonder how he will go if he was driving for Mercedes. So far this season, apart from the four DNFs, Max has scored points in all the other races, including a win in Austria and five other podium finishes. And you know, Ted Kravitz of Sky TV, he does a segment called Ted's Notebook on YouTube, which I always enjoy. He said in his post-race notebook that the new Honda engine, which was not raced here, is half a second faster than the current power plant. If that is the case, and this engine will be in use at Suzuka, Max is definitely worth another half a second. Hopefully with Max at the wheel, Honda can turn to glory days of winning like they did with McLaren and Senna-Prost partnership. Wouldn't that be awesome? Cars with Ferrari engine, BDs, Honda engine, winning races.
That would be great.
What about Renault, your people?
All of it. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, no, that would be very good. And with Danny Boy going to Renault, hopefully, you know, it will light up the fuse of Nico Hülkenberg and see what they can do.
That's true. The only problem with Renault is Carlos Ghosn will never allow Renault F1 to have the kind of budget that Mercedes, that Toyota had, that Ferrari has, that Honda will have. Never. He's a very frugal, conservative CEO of Renault, and they've got to work on a much tighter budget. It can be done, but I know Carlos Ghosn, that will never happen.
Well, like you said, it has been done in 2005 and 2006 against the might of Ferrari.
Exactly. So hope, but you know, that was so long ago, and the technology is so different now that in those days, just an expanding tire could help you. Today, it's the expanding wallet.
Oh, you know, that expanding wallet has been from day one.
Absolutely. But look at Haas. Small budget, doing well with a good package, and Sauber.
Yeah, Sauber is doing well too. Okay, now we come to Kimi Raikkonen, and the only question is, was he in the race?
No.
That was a very sad scene. Instead of riding a prancing horse, he is riding what Julio Iglesias calls Caballo Viejo. Any thoughts on Alfa Romeo Sauber's new signing And for the record, he was fourth in Sochi, one spot ahead of Mack. You think Sauber has made the right move?
Well, what happened was Sauber got a great deal on a large quantity of Haagen-Dazs. They just couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, but I'm glad the team is bringing new blood into F1 in the form of Antonio Giovinazzi. You know, he did a couple of races in place of Pascal Wehrlein, but the kid deserves a full-time ride. He was a close second in his rookie season of GP2 behind Pierre Gasly in 2016, and Gasly won the championship in the second year. So Antonio is a good racer, and it's been a while, man, since a race was won by an Italian driver.
It's been a little while.
Who was the last Italian? Fisico or Trulli?
It was Fisico.
Yeah, it's been a lot. And you know the last time an Italian driver won a championship? 1953, Alberto Ascari. So they need to bring some, you know, Guidos and Tonys.
And Sarducci.
Yeah. Yeah, into racing by the buckets. But, you know, I mean, we had this kid, Rafael Marcello, who was Italian-speaking Swiss. He was doing so good. Now he's running around in GT and sports cars, but that's the way the ruthless business of motor racing is.
Yeah, don't worry. He's texting Leo a lot.
Leo as in Leo Mel of Goodyear or Leo Mansell?
Monsieur Mansell.
Yes. I think he's playing golf in St. Andrews or Papua New Guinea. Danny Rick got 8 points from his sixth place finish. As always, he had his usual why does Australia smile. I am really looking forward to see him go head-to-head against the Hulk, Nico Hülkenberg, in the same team next season, which I think will be a serious challenge for Nico Hülkenberg because he's had quite a few teammates over the years. Nobody has rattled his cage, including Sergio Perez, and Esteban Gutierrez was not even in the ballpark against him. Do you think that Nico Hülkenberg will be able to keep his momentum as the top dingo at Renault?
No, I don't think he'll be the top dingo any longer, but I'm certain that he'll be able to up his game.
Yeah, he will have really no choice but to up his game. And now we come to the future, the other future, Sir Charles Leclerc. Another mighty fine performance from man from Monaco. He was 7th on Sunday. All indications are he could be the cage rattler at Ferrari next season. Very friendly personality. I could see him become the next Gilles Villeneuve at Ferrari. The M&M factor at Maranello. M for Montreal and M for Monaco, where these two young guys and guns came from. It'll be interesting, man. If he can rattle Sebastian Vettel's cage, then I think that will be the end of Sebastian Vettel's Formula One life. Because I don't think Sebastian is going to be tootling around like Kimi Raikkonen and Fernando Alonso in uncompetitive machinery. That's how I look at it.
I think you're right. I think he's a married man. He'll become an author.
Yeah, I was reading, briefly didn't read the whole story. There was a sort of an interview with him, and he says, you know, he's a normal guy. He takes his kids to school. I take the bus. Obviously, he's not hopping on a Greyhound from Salinas, California to Bakersfield, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
Okay, and then what we have here, K-Mac for Team USA was 8. The Great Dane did not score any points in the previous two races in Singapore and Monza, so it was good to see him there. The Pink Panthers picked up the final 2-point paying position, Esteban over Sergio in 9th and 10th, respectively. And now, all rise as we talk about muy macho hombre de Viva España. Fernando Alonso is now the second most experienced driver in Formula One history. Sochi was his 306th Grand Prix start, same as JB and Shumi. Only Rubinho has more starts. In his now usual fashion, he called qualifying nonsense compared to the F2 race on Saturday. There are hints and allegations that he may race at Daytona 500. Let's just hope we don't get to see the day when he's calling Spa and Suzuka nonsense track compared to Bristol and Martinsville. You think we might see that day?
No. He's still a class act.
Really?
Of course.
Well, you know, if you say karma, if you say GP2 engine at Suzuka, you have all the class you need in the world.
If it's deserved, you do. And testicles.
Yes.
Yes, bravo.
Leave the left part to Kevin Magnussen.
Bravo. And speaking of Kevin Magnussen, I loved the fact that Ocon couldn't catch Magnussen, so they let Perez in front of Ocon. He couldn't catch him, so then they said, well, after two laps, Ocon goes back in front. What was that all about?
Well, now these drivers are finally listening to the team.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely correct. Both of them were absolutely doing what they were told.
This was like a kindergarten schooling, you know. You must stay on your best behavior. Yes, sir. No, sir. But that's the way it goes. So, you know, that's about anything that stands out for you. There was some very great dicing. And what's your take on this strike, by the way?
It's okay.
Yeah, you know, the facility, like any modern-day Formula One facility, the overhead shots, the aerial shots, the Black Sea, the mountains, it all looks very impressive. And as far as the track is concerned, it's, you know, typical Tilke-Drome. But even though it's sort of a street circuit and a Tilke-Drome, about 60% of the track is full throttle, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, and of course, Putin wouldn't have it any other way.
Yes, he shows up at every Grand Prix there. He must have some interest in motor racing.
Obviously. I remember when he tested the Renault.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's good. It's good for the popularity of the sport if the president of the nation shows up, because I'm sure it's mentioned on every news there.
Of course.
And, you know, guess who was there in the final 10 laps of the race with him?
Kavanaugh.
No. His biggest admirer, Bernie.
Bernie.
Have you seen Bernie? Is it, now he's got a goatee or a mustache or half a beard or whatever you want to call it. He's looking very like a British mafia action man now, not like the old quiet and little man Bernie Ecclestone.
Machismo. Bravo. So why don't we take a quick break and we'll be back after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Guanyu from China, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial, the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Yes, sir, we have more motorsports worked out for the masses. But before we get into details, yeah, I have a question for you, sir. As much as you like Formula One and passionate about this, Sunday's victory was number 70 for Lewis Hamilton. Okay. We have the same package for two more seasons, and he is signed with Mercedes for two more seasons. At 70 Grand Prix wins today, with five more races to go, safe to assume he will win another race or two this year. Okay. Do you think we will see him pass Michael Schumacher's number of 91 Grand Prix wins?
Yes, easily.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, with the no kablamos anymore, more races on the schedule, easily.
Yeah, but still to win that number of Grand Prix wins is an incredible achievement.
Well, the biggest thing is, when Michael Schumacher went to Ferrari, you know, they sucked. It took him a while to get it going. Mercedes got it together pretty quickly. And when Lewis Hamilton went to Mercedes, the timing was really excellent.
Yeah, and let's not forget, the guy he replaced at Mercedes was Michael Schumacher.
Correct.
Which was really a big, big surprise for me.
Not for me. The way he was driving, I mean, my God.
Okay, sir. Now we go to Sochi once more. Formula 2 and GP3 were also in action. Saturday's feature race in Formula 2 was won by Alexander Albon from Thailand. Nicholas Latifi from Canada was second, and Dutchman Nick De Vries was third. Sunday's sprint race was won by George Russell, who comes from the same town as Martin Brundle, called Kings Lynn. Brazilian Sergio Sete Câmara was second, and Alexander Albon from Thailand was third. He is now second in the championship, ahead of Lando Norris, who was my pre-championship favorite. But surprisingly, things haven't worked out for him. He's still, you know, very strong third in his rookie season. But the job I was expecting Lando Norris to do has been done by Russell, George Russell. He is at the top with 248 points compared to 211 for Albon. And, you know, there's a lot of wheeling and dealings going on for a seat at Williams. Apparently, George Russell, from what I've heard, is preferred by Mercedes at Williams over Esteban Ocon, because they don't want to put Esteban Ocon in a slug, if you know what I mean.
If the slug is all you got, slug it is.
Yeah, I think that would be a slug is would be a better place for George Russell to get to, you know the business. But he has done a tremendous job, and I'm very impressed by him in Formula 2 this year. Okay, now we move on to Formula 2's little sister, GP3. Italian Leonardo Puccini won the opening race of the weekend. Dutch driver Richard Verschuur was fourth. Not too long ago, he was a Red Bull Junior. Then Dr. Marco pulled out his machete and clipped his wings. Sunday's second race was won by, on the last lap, I have not seen the race, by German David Beckmann. Miss Tatiana Calderon from Colombia was seventh. She used to race here in the U.S. with Connor Daly back in their junior days. And most upon a time, we interviewed her at Laguna Seca. Your homeboy, François-Antoine Hubert, leads the championship with 199 points. Second is Nikita Mazepin on 167 points. His papito, Dimitri Mazepin, and his billion-dollar fertilizer business, Ural Kali, and you can see this name on the side of his car, are suing the administrators of Force India, a company called, or an organization called FRP Advisors, claiming they had more money on the table than Stroll and his trolls. Have you read anything about this lawsuit that's going on in England?
Yeah, I did, in Autosport. I found it interesting.
Yeah, and according to FRP Advisors, the Stroll bid was based on the fact that it was the only one that offered a full plan to rescue the team and not just buy the asset. My question is, where is Judge Wapner when you need him? Now, Torpedo is back in the Toro Rosso Armada. Daniel Kvyat, his love-hate relationship with Red Bull's Dr. Strangelove continues as he has been re-signed for the 2019 season. Apparently, Kvyat was the first to inform Dr. Marco Danny Boy was bailing out. And that was kind of interesting that actually I read it, an interview with the Dr. Marco, and he himself said that Danny was up and up on what Kyoto was trying to do, and he informed us. Any thoughts on Kvyat going back to Toro Rosso and coming back in Formula 1?
I'm happy for him. I don't know why. I mean, with some of the young drivers that need a spot like Ocon, he must be bringing something.
He's a pretty good, talented kid. You know, he won the GP3. He has been very quick. And he and Carlos Sainz pretty much were brought together in the same teams in Junior Formula by Red Bull. So let's see what he can do this time around. And I think a lot of media is saying that Esteban is being hurt by his alliance with Mercedes because a lot of teams don't want him. They don't want to get a guy for a year or two and then he bails out with all that information back to Mercedes. But we'll see how it works out. Haas lineup is the same. Team from North Carolina will keep both K-Mag and Romain Grosjean for the 2019 season. Grosjean has been with the team since the beginning, and team boss Gunther Steiner has always praised Grosjean for taking the chance with the team after leaving Renault. K-Mag was also at Renault before joining Haas F1 and also had a one season playing with McLaren, which came to an end when he received a text on his birthday saying, "Your services are no longer required. Good luck, PDR." You know what that PDR means?
I know it's not beer.
Yeah, no, that's PBR. This is PD as in de la. You guessed that right.
Yes, I got it. Rosito.
Yes, exactly. Okay, more good news for Team Haas. They have been reimbursed for the damage caused to, I think it was Grosjean's car by a manhole at the Sepang track a year or two ago. Do you remember that incident?
Yeah, I was laughing.
Yes. Same thing, I think, happened to Monty in, was it China or Turkey? Interesting. Now some sad news from Australia. Australian racing legend and founder of Bob Jane Tyre Marts, a chain of tire stores, Bob Jane, he has passed away at the age of 88. He was a big name in Australian motorsports. He was four-time Australian touring car champion and also won the race that is today called the Bathurst 1000 four times. So our condolences to his family and friends. Now, you remember Felix Rosenquist, who took like 5 years to win the European F3 championship and then was wondering why nobody called him from Formula One fraternity?
Yeah.
Well, he will be joining IndyCar League, IndyCar Racing Series, I should say, with the Ganassi Racing, which means he will be teammate to Scott Dixon, who this year won the championship. Have you read about the Miami F1 Festival?
No.
I knew this was coming, but then I just heard a report that it's happening on the same day as the U.S. Grand Prix.
That's figures. Brilliant.
And Fittipaldi will be there driving one of his cars, and they're going to show the Grand Prix on a big screen. But hey, you know, whatever it takes to make Formula One popular. Okay, now you remember this kid, Daniel Tickton from England, who had some questions about Mick Schumacher winning so many races and taking the championship lead.
It's insinuating.
Yes, and he was on his way to Formula One, but he did not have the license, the points to get a super license. So at Sochi, I like the humor of Christian Horner. He was asked about him, and he said that Tickham is a character who sometimes engages mouth before brain. But he did say that he's a talented driver, but he's got more development to do before he's anywhere near a Formula One level, which that statement tells me that Red Bull is not going to be thrilled if he does not win this championship, which he probably will not, because there's only one round remaining, and that is the Hockenheim Ring, Mick Schumacher's home track. So let's see what happens. And some interesting news. A lady from Spain, Ana Carrasco, has become the first female to win a motorbike world title. The 21-year-old claimed the World Supersport 300 title by a point over compatriot Mika Perez. So that is very impressive, and my congratulations to the señorina.
Bravo.
So there is hope for Danica Patrick still.
Always.
I think she should come back to racing 5 years later and again get the pole at Daytona 500.
Not going to happen.
Why do you say that?
Because she's too happy living and sleeping with my cousin.
The guy Rogers?
Yeah. Aaron Rogers.
Yes. So do you have some inside scoop on that?
I can't say anything.
Okay, that's good. That's a first for you, by the way. Okay, sir, now we come to motorsports mantra. For this, I always need your express written consent.
The text is in the mail.
Ding! There it is. Thank you. Okay, sir, back in 1986, we had the first F1 race behind the Iron Curtain in Magyar Republic, also known as Hungary. Now we have Russia, Azerbaijan, and some may include China also in this group. Given the extreme success of these races among the natives, especially in Azerbaijan and China, it is no surprise FOM is trying very hard to get a race in Hanoi. The race in Miami is a great idea, but there is a headwind for a race on the streets, and there is still no confirmation the race will take place. Please, no Las Vegas. We have seen this movie before. A race in California will be very well attended, but there will be issues like Miami and then some. I think a street race in Seattle might be a good idea. Great city. There will be a giant sucking sound of Canadian F1 fans coming across the border. Big corporate names in the area, Boeing, Microsoft, Nintendo, and Alaska Airlines. A race back at Kyalami in South Africa will be great. It will be great to have a race on the African continent. This track is now owned by Porsche. I think we should have a second race in South America also. Argentina would be obvious choice after Brazil, but a street race in Santiago, Chile would be successful from attendance point of view. The race can be started by Elisio Salazar, and checkered flag to end the race can be given by Nelson Piquet. Now that would be a kicker of the season. Thank you for listening, and as they say on TV, till we meet again behind mansion walls.
Keep up the good work, Nas. Outstanding. I spent last Saturday at Laguna Seca, the 6th Rennsport reunion. Everybody was there, including your friend Jochen Mass, Jackie Aches.
Jackie Aches was there?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he's getting, you know, the only thing is these people are getting old.
Oh, yes.
Well, it was a big Porsche event. So, of course, he was there. Derek Bell was there. Derek Bell is everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, I met him some years ago. He was very nice and very friendly, I have to say.
Yes, so it was all very fun and adventurous. And on the last Sunday, yesterday, I contributed my time for the community. And I was a judge at the Concours d'Elegance of the San Jose Country Club.
Oh, yeah. And did you give the first award to the first Renault or Citroen that showed up?
Exactly. How did you know? Of course, I was with Dan Gentile, our friend.
Good man.
Good man. So there you have it. That's how I spent my weekend. That's nothing but cars and motorsports.
Yeah. You know, me too, Clark. You know how I spent my Sunday?
In church.
No. I watched the first 10 laps of the Russian Grand Prix. Then I had to go to work.
Huh. Don't worry. You didn't miss anything.
No, but I did, you know, turn on the, I don't know if it was Formula One website or autosport.com website to follow what's going on. And, when I saw on that, it was just the result, you know, the positions. So when I saw Verstappen was leading and I had a inkling that he had not yet stopped four tires. So I thought maybe there was, you know, it went on and on. But when I saw Hamilton ahead of Bottas, I just had a feeling that maybe Mercedes asked Rob Smedley to come over for a radio message.
Exactly. And the radio message was written by Isaac Hayes. It's always laughs when there's a sucker in town, Nass.
Yes.
But the problem is, once the branding iron has touched your bootay, that mark never goes away.
No, I mean, you have to look at it this way. Mercedes go back to the Uber domination days of a couple of years ago. And for whatever reason, the first five races, Lewis Hamilton gets taken out by Max or a engine failure or a rim failure or whatever, you know. And Bottas wins the first five races. Then he may have a chance of winning the championship. It's been done before.
Okay. I'll let you sleep, and I'll wake you up right before the next podcast, Nass. So I want to thank everybody who listens. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Man, but no one understands him but his woman.
John Jack.